Session 96, October 12, 1964. The Early Sessions, Volume 3 of the Seth Material. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, a few remarks here tying in with our previous session. There is no one reality. There are many, in fact, infinite realities. There is no beginning and no end. When beginnings and endings are spoken of, the implication is always there that there must be but one reality, and that it must have a beginning in time and an ending in time. I have tried to explain the distortions which make such questions seem intrinsically valid, but it is only from your own perspective that you think in terms of beginning and end, and only because of your self-adopted limitations that you continue along these lines. Realities merge one into the other. Personalities, or any type of individualized energy, may pass through various realities. The appearance of energy in one form could be said to end in that form were it not for the existence of the spacious present, in which all realities are simultaneous. I could therefore, with some justification, let you continue to believe in beginnings and endings, and leave the more complicated explanations out, but this is not my way. And unless I am forced to do so, I do not like to water down information to make it more palatable. It is true that the pyramid gestalts of which I have spoken can be said to merge into what you may refer to as a unitary and even sublime being. But this is grossly simplified. We shall have a session dealing almost entirely with the nature of energy gestalts, and you will see that while these pyramid energy gestalts do, on the one hand, achieve a unitary character and sublime intelligence, on the other hand, they form only an approximation of humanity's concept of a God. This unitary gestalt, which we may call, and I prefer it to the word God, the primary energy gestalt. This primary energy gestalt may be thought of as straddling all realities, or existing in the infinite realities of which we have spoken. Yet in this prime gestalt, that is unitary, there is again an infinite diversity, and literally numberless personalities. Nor are these personalities that compose the prime psychic gestalt dependent or submissive to any one dominating personality within the gestalt. This material will take some studying. You will perhaps recognize a certain similarity between this concept and the Christian concept of a Trinity, except the Trinity concept, while hinting at diversity with prime unity, was nevertheless distorted by man's own sense of his own adopted and unfortunate delusion of duality. The Trinity concept, in your terms, was a masculine one, projecting to the one God concept the duality which all mankind feels. But because the theory originated with the male, the duality is expressed in terms of the male viewpoint. You have in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Here man attempts to externalize a division he feels within himself individually. He is a son and then a father, and always within him he feels that part or inner self which cannot be seen by another, which is neither father nor son, but which is within him while he is father and while he is son. This, of course, being the Holy Ghost, or rather, that which he thought of in such terms. When he attempted to further formulate his God concept, he then projected upon it those mysteries of self. I suggest you break. Break at 9:28. Jane was dissociated as usual. Seth, as you know, inner data must be perceived through the inner senses. In formulating a theory concerning the primary energy gestalt, the data is distorted by the particular set of outer sensory equipment characteristic of any given plane of reality. This is known, that man forms his God in his own image. The irony is that in part this image will be true, that is, it will represent one facet of the primary gestalt, but a facet so infinitesimal in the overall reality of the primary gestalt that it distorts beyond all recognition. Only by escaping momentarily from camouflage data can any larger concept be obtained. A personality in the primary gestalt is indeed focused upon your present plane of reality. But to suppose that the whole primary gestalt is so focused represents mankind's ego playing with one of its most preposterous proposals. The primary energy gestalt did not have a beginning in time, nor will it end in time. It is a result of an expansion, again, in terms of value fulfillment, an expansion that has nothing to do with either time or space as men conceived them. The expansion resulted from a contraction of energy, but because of the unique attributes inherent in both value fulfillment and in the spacious present, there simply was not an initial or first contraction or expansion. I will not say that there was, simply, in order to make the material appear more logical, since only appearances can be made logical because they deal with, that is, appearances deal with, data that you are physically equipped to handle. You create appearances. You create outer senses to perceive the appearances. And so what you perceive through the outer senses seems logical indeed. But again, there are infinite realities, as valid and some indescribably more vivid than your own, but presently you are not focused upon them. And since you are not, you do not have the peculiar sets of camouflage perceptors necessary to experience existence within them. Now, within the same space and time that you at this moment occupy, there are numberless planes of reality. You simply do not have the camouflage equipment to perceive them. They, or the inhabitants of such realities, do not perceive your plane of existence for the same reason. This does not mean that any one field or plane is more valid than another. The closest field or plane is that one that you create, that you call the dream world, and that you imagine to be unsubstantial, impermanent, fleeting, having no reality except during your own contact with it. It may be thought of in an analogy, as a shadow, in that you create it or project it, but without conscious knowledge. It is a natural consequence of your own existence, but it does not vanish when the ego blots out the inner light from the whole self. Its existence is as permanent as your own. I suggest your break. Rob notes, break at 9:58. Jane was dissociated as usual and again resumed wearing her glasses at break. During break, I wondered aloud whether the inhabitants of another plane might be able to tune in on our dream world from the other side, you might say, and through the dream world thus locate our plane. Perhaps the flying saucer people had located our plane in that fashion. Seth, a note here. If Rupert would resume his back exercises, his sinuses will improve. The exercises should be done very slowly, however, and without strain. At times, he did them too quickly. There is more, but he is up to his tricks again, blocking me. I will get the material through for your own benefit in the near future. That will be all, then, for the subject now. You know, then, from past discussions, that the dream world as you know it is a result of your awareness of a plane of existence which you help create, and in which you manipulate. In other words, on an unconscious level, you here manipulate in another plane of existence entirely, one in which your conscious camouflage ego may not enter. It is not of the particular camouflage necessities on that plane. Now, at other levels, you exist and manipulate on other planes, which are consciously unknown to you, planes which are as valid as your own, and in which your existence is also a natural result of your own psychic makeup. I am referring here, of course, to all individuals. This has nothing to do with reincarnation, but involves levels of experience, manipulation in other realities that are a natural result of the psychophysical gestalt of a human individual. The chemical and electrical construction of the human individual opens other pathways and requires other activities in other fields than those with which the conscious ego is familiar. The mechanics are not important, but as dreaming is particularly caused by chemical poisons that make dreaming a necessity for physical survival, so there are other mechanisms of this kind that are actually doorways, built within and natural to the physical mechanism, and at the same time necessitate experience upon other fields of reality. Many purposes are thereby served. You have a focus in many more worlds than you know. One is a conceptual energy force reality, which is much more than some theoretical world of ideas, but a reality in which individual energy is used as a constant manipulation of idea or concepts into constructions that, while not physical in your terms, is nevertheless a vivid and actual concrete field of a manipulated and applied force in which matter may be, but is not always, an end result. This matter does not appear, however, in your universe, but is outside of it. I am going to end the session somewhat earlier, as I am initiating you into new material. An effort is involved here, as concepts of rather complicated nature must be broken into words between us for the first time, and this involves a discrimination most difficult. In order that the most evocative phrases be used, while taking care that as many distortions as possible be avoided in word translation. My best and fondest wishes to you both. As always, I dislike leaving, but I am extremely pleased with tonight's material. Rob, good night, Seth. End at 10:30. Jane was dissociated more fully. She said that she had been earlier in the session. We were somewhat surprised at the rather abrupt end of the session, but not displeased either. My writing hand felt better. Session 97, October 14, 1964. The Early Sessions, Volume 3 of the Seth material. Good evening. Rob, good evening, Seth. Seth. Rupert's indisposition is the result of a rather uncalled-for sense of panic. Were he not so honestly and unfortunately ill-disposed, the affair would be highly ludicrous. Last week he began and finished an excellent short story, and finished and outlined, as well as holding our sessions and beginning once more his psychological time experiments. Monday he also worked, and the following day he did not immediately begin another story. And here we see his translation of this rather natural occurrence into tragic forebodings. No idea. And this further, of course, projected no idea tomorrow and a succession of days. But to hide from himself the dire imagined sequence, he must have an excuse. He is ill-disposed, and quite honestly so. Therefore, he covers himself. If he does not get an idea tomorrow, he has an excuse anticipated of being ill, and this also serves as a punishment. He will punish himself on any day that he does not put in his allotted hours in what he considers a constructive manner. And, incidentally, necessary business concerning the sending out of manuscripts he does not subconsciously consider should be considered part of his writing day. Unconsciously, he knows better. I will not put our session off this evening, though I may shorten it. He will learn shortly, and without any real difficulty, that while his new schedule will be, as it should be, followed with discipline, nevertheless, he cannot expect a new idea every day. It is ridiculous for him to so punish himself, and does not help matters, as his joyous spontaneity is so important in his working habits. I would like to comment on a remark made earlier by yourself, Joseph. I find it most refreshing, rather drastic, however. Here, Rob notes, Jane laughed, then took a long pause as she about the room. The remark of mine to be discussed was one I had made around supper time, and I was now rather surprised to see it crop up in the material. Seth. You spoke about this plane, mentioning, I believe, the possibility that the plane had some specified but unknown end, after which the cycle began anew, with, of course, new personalities participating. You are indeed partially correct. However, even I pale at the idea of a specified, and that would be predetermined, end to your universe as you know it. This would imply that despite the development of the inhabitants, their world would end at a particular point, and this is not the case. However, your universe has had and will continue to have such cycles, but there is no predetermined end in those terms. This is an extremely difficult subject. Certainly, areas of the physical universe change form, are disassembled, and reappear in other forms. This follows certain laws inherent in the field of nature as far as matter is concerned. Beyond this, however, your idea would result in an end to your plane that was unavoidable. There are cycles, but they are brought about individually and in mass by the personalities active on your plane. Probable universes are by their very nature existing universes. You mentioned that when and if you become an entity and send forth personalities, that they would gain existence in the first periods of another such cycle, in another newer, say, 4th or 5th century. You forget that in the spacious present, you already are not only what you will be, but what you have been. Therefore, such personalities that you would project are already projected, and only the veil of unawareness divides you, as only the veil of unawareness ever separates one field or plane from another. I suggest your break. Rob, break at 9:29. Jane was dissociated as usual. Upon resting, she put her glasses on. She reported that she felt all right while delivering the material, and also that she felt a little better now. She resumed in the same voice, but a little faster pace at 9:35. Seth. Concerning our friend Rupert, another note. And that is that there is also a quite valid inner sense of guilt here in that he has neglected his poetry. At least an hour a day should be devoted to it. He was utterly and completely surprised upon learning that Macmillan had nearly accepted his book of poetry. He never expected any financial rewards from poetry, and it occurred to him that in his recent neglect of it, he may have been cheating himself in more ways than one. Because of his rather intense mental work, I would suggest walks and other physical activities. Small social relationships on an informal basis will be practical. They will prevent too much inner involvement, open new doors, bring psychic refreshment, and also provide our hungry friend with his diet of new ideas. As indeed, his latest story was initiated by a remark made by a neighbor. Rather frequent informal relationships are more practical than occasional formal ones, and Rupert is already involving himself again in the satisfying, for him, diversified household chores, which are also a break from strict mental work. Even in wintertime, I will suggest he takes walks, and these should be for pure enjoyment. Hammering at his subconscious, as he does on his few walks, negates their purpose. Too much of a good thing. After all, his subconscious would like some rest too. He is such a hammerhead in this respect. We should have a balance here, and he must allow room for spontaneity. He remembers his early lack of discipline in working matters, but he is well disciplined now. On session nights particularly, his working day is elongated, and regardless of my efforts, there is some physical and mental strain involved, though these are greatly minimized. His subconscious will provide all the spontaneous ideas that he needs for his own work, but he cannot sit it in a corner, lecture it, and demand very definite, specific tasks. His subconscious knows better than he does consciously what particular means should be used to gain a desired end. It does not need minute-by-minute instructions. I would not take up session time for this material, except that my suggestions, if followed, would be most helpful. Also to him a note, even his adolescent, seemingly undisciplined times were disciplined, giving notice of continuing ego strength, balanced and sometimes overbalanced by intuitional development, in that he never ceased writing from the day that he began. He is face to face with himself, with his abilities, ambitions, and limitations now, with a whole day more or less to work toward his goal, and he feels great urgency. This is fine, a driving force, but his strength comes from, among other things, his very personal involvement with nature, and from his contemplation of it. Time devoted to what appears aimless thought and speculation will also bear its fruits. I would have thought that any advice to Rupert would have involved suggestions curtailing his robust and ever-curious intuitional abilities. But he is holding them down with a too heavy a hand. He so feared that he lacked discipline that he becomes too stern a keeper of his own inner fires. I will close this part of our discussion and suggest your break. Rob knows break at 10. Jane was dissociated as usual. She said she now feels quite a bit better. Her pace had speeded up and my riding hand was feeling it. She resumed in the same faster manner, although still with occasional pauses, at 10:07. Seth, we have not yet finished our consideration of the nature of dreams, which will be given more or less in bulk. Dream interpretation will be an occasional but continuing proposition, and the general discussion of dreams will then serve as a guidepost. The dream world is indeed a natural byproduct of the relationship of the inner self and the physical being. Not a reflection, therefore, but a byproduct involving not only a chemical reaction, but the transformation of energy from one state to another. In some respects, all planes or fields of existence are indeed byproducts of others. For example, without the particular spark set off through the interrelationship existing between the inner self and the physical being, the dream world would not exist. But conversely, the dream world is a necessity for the continued existence of the physical individual. This point is extremely important. As you know, animals dream. What you do not know is that all consciousnesses dream. We have said that to some degree, even atoms and molecules have consciousness, and this minute consciousness nevertheless forms its own dreams, even as, on the other hand, it forms its own physical image. Now, as in the physical field, atoms combine for their own benefit and individually into more complicated structure gestalts, so do they also combine to form such gestalts through a somewhat different nature in the dream world. I have said that the dream world has its own sort of form and permanence. It is physically oriented, though not to the degree inherent in your ordinary universe. In the same manner that the physical image is built up of an individual, so is the dream image built up. You can refer to our previous discussion on matter if it will help you here, but the dream world is not a formless, haphazard semi-construction. It does not exist in bulk, but it does exist in form. This is not a contradiction nor a distortion. The true complexity and importance of the dream world as an independent field of existence has not yet been impressed upon you. Yet, while your world and the dream world are basically independent, they still exert pressures and influences, one upon the other. I will expand this discussion, because an understanding of the dream world will bring you closer to understanding other fields of existence with which you are not so familiar. I will shortly end this evening's session, so with your permission, there will be no break. Rob knows Jane looked at me for confirmation as she paced around the room, and I nodded. It was 10:28. Seth, it is important that you realize that the dream world is a byproduct of your own existence. And because it is connected to you through chemical reactions, this leaves open the entryway for interactions in animals as well as men. Since dreams are a byproduct of any consciousness involved with matter, this leads us to the correct conclusion that trees have their dreams, that all physical matter, being formed about individualized units of consciousness of varying degrees, also participates in the involuntary construction of the dream universe. I will here end our session, and am pleased to note that Rupert feels much better. Had I put off the session, he would have felt worse by far, feeling guilty. Now my two pigeons, good night from your crusty friend. We are all in the same pie together, save that I am the baker and the crust both. Some recipe. Rob, good night, Seth. End at 10:38. Jane was dissociated as usual. She now felt much better, so much so that her last delivery was quite animated and cheerful.